once I get past a certain part. Anyway, but your special day's in 5 weeks, okay? I'm already working on it. I'm already working on the gifts. So, Lauren, let's start with First John. I mean, John 1. Do you have? Can you do that? Or do I need to get my phone? Okay. All things were made and came into existence through him. And without him was not even one thing made that has come into a being. You guys agree with that? Good. Jesus was the only person in history that got to choose his mother. Since all things were made by him, for he created everything, he got to choose who his mama would be. The Bible gives a few bits of personal information about Mary. She was taught the word, and she was of the household of David. And there were a few more things that Rick Renner dove into, but I didn't look them all up. But she was taught of the word. The one thing that is said about Mary consistently in Scripture, and that was Mary kept things in her heart that was said to her concerning her son. Jesus says in Luke 2:19, but Mary was keeping within herself all these things, sayings, weighing and pondering them in her heart. Pondering implies careful thought, reflection, and storing the spiritual significance of the events in her heart. She was not just passively receiving information from an angel, but actively processing and integrating into her spiritual understanding. It shows her a spiritual woman, not just a mother, but a woman of faith who seeks deeper meaning in the events of her life. These spiritual things, she treasured them carefully, thought it through and kept them in her heart. This was not a moment to plaster on social media. This was her treasure and held them deep within herself. Can you imagine your Facebook post? Hey, guess what? An angel just came and told me I'm going to have a baby and I've never had sex. Who's going to believe that? Who's going to believe that? She treasured them in her heart. A mother's heart is a very deep well. In it is lots of rooms for secrets and stored information, hidden joys, and unspoken pain. Her heart is a place where fears and doubts can be buried in a time of crisis, because you may have to rise and become a problem solver. You may have to stay in the fight, be tenacious and resilient, because you don't have a choice. Amen? It's a heart that deeply feels the pains and shortcomings and the joys of your children. Amen? Or am I the only amen here? So today I want you to know that whatever your relationship is currently with your child, or if you have lost a child, I pray that in knowing that Jesus chose a woman, and it's something very special to him, that there is much in her heart that may be unspoken or only cried about or prayed about, that he is always with you and ministering to you today and always. His mother was like that. There are a lot of Mother's Day messages about Deborah in the Bible. So, I'm going to give you a backstory. I'm changing gears now. I'm going to give you a backstory. She's got two chapters in Judges, okay? One is what happened, and the second chapter that they give her, it's a song of what happened. That Deborah and, I can't think of his name, Barak, wrote, and they sang a song. That's it. But here's the backstory. The story goes like this. The Israelites were being persecuted horribly by the Canaanites. And God, Deborah, it says that she was a judge. She was a righteous judge. And she would go under a tree and she would seek and spend time with God. And he would give her instructions. And people would come and she would judge the situation. So God instructed Deborah, she's under a tree one day, to summon Barak, a leader of the Israelite army, to fight against Sisera, the general of the Canaanite army. And Barak says, I'm not going unless you go. He told that to a woman. And so Deborah agreed to go to battle with him. She arose. That's how powerful she was. She arose as a mother to Israel. But she warned Barak that the victory would be attributed to a woman named Yael. Now, I just want to stop there. Deborah didn't take all that credit herself. She was hearing from God, but she told Barak, you're not going to get the credit, Barak. We're going to win, but it's going to go to Yael. And that's J-A-E-L, but I looked it up and they said it for me, and that's how you say it. Barak and Deborah did indeed lead the Israelites to victory over Sisera's 900 iron chariots. Megan, you can read the story later. I know what she's doing. She's checking me. The Canaanites had those iron chariots were like tanks versus infantry. They had 900. Sisera was defeated. I'm going to tell you a story here. And escaped and ran and found refuge in Yael's tent. She gave him some milk. And he asked for water. She gave him some milk. She covered him up. He was exhausted. He had run. He'd been in a fight and he'd run to her house. Their tribes were in peace with each other. And he laid down to rest. And he commanded her, you watch and see if anybody comes. So she did. He laid down. She covers him up to let him rest. And then she takes a tent peg and a hammer, runs it through his temple and kills him. Ooh, I like that. I like that reaction. Ooh. She did. So she took a pallet and a mallet and a tent peg and run it through Sisera's temple while he was sleeping. He dead on a doornail. Deborah's leadership and God's victory brought a period of years to peace to the land. Deborah sings about in chapter 5. Now, thankfully, men, I'm not going to talk about that. That's not what I'm going to talk about. And Bobby goes, phew. I'm not going to encourage mothers to be like Yael, okay? Okay. We go from throat punching to spike. So, okay. Get it together. Deborah had this famous verse when Israel needed her badly, and that's Judges 5:7. The inhabitants of the villages ceased, and they ceased in Israel until that I, Deborah, arose, that I arose as a mother in Israel. That's in the song part. Deborah didn't use her other titles to arise. I, Deborah, a prophetess, she was. I, Deborah, a judge, she was. And a good one. I, Deborah, a warrior, she was. I, Deborah, a singer, she's singing this song right now. Or I, Deborah, a poet of influence. She was all that and had every right to say it, but those were not the titles for the solution that was needed. The most powerful title she could take upon herself that God could use for that current darkness was that she arose as a mother. She said, and that's what she said, I arose as a mother in Israel. So what did Deborah understand about being a mother, or what did God communicate to her, what the power, the influence that a mother was needed at such a time as this? God told her something. She heard from God. And she said, I arise as a mother. Now, she had to get that army together. She had to get Barak motivated to go take on that big army. God created Eve. Then Adam saw her. This is why she said, I arose as a mother. And he named her Eve, and it represented what her God-given role in the earth would be. Her name Eve means life giver. So every daughter of Eve, all women here, is named Eve. You're life givers. That was God's original intent. As women, we walk this earth and are the power of God with the mind of God that equals life givers. Do you know that the Bible never mentioned Deborah as having children? It says nothing about her having children. It says, the word tells us who her husband is, the wife of Lapidoth, but no mention of children. The word says she was a judge and known for being a great one. That's not necessarily a maternal image, but she lays claim for herself. I am a mother in Israel. She is reflecting what the privilege of all women who have biological children or not. Being a mother is not necessarily biological, according to what God says about women. That name belongs to every daughter of Eve, life giver. Because we can be a mother in the physical sense, but we also have opportunity to be a mother in Israel, which means spiritual authority. God has a call on our lives to reproduce and to reproduce spiritually. Whether or not Deborah was ever a biological mother says she called herself a mother in Israel. And it was a very powerful title for her as a life giver. Deborah was not trapped by the tradition of culture. She was anointed to rise. She was not in rebellion as a woman leading, but in obedience to God, she was living her life as God was leading her. Her gift met the need of the hour, and therefore her calling was born, a mother in Israel. Deborah didn't back up and didn't let any idea what she could do or couldn't do when God spoke to her. She set time to seek Him, to be alone with Him, to know Him, and to know His voice. She would sit under a tree and God would speak, and she would rise and the power of that word and see what others couldn't see and do what others said couldn't be done. So this title of mother as a daughter of Eve was not dependent on her biological experience necessarily, but that spiritual equipment as a mother, as a life giver. Amen? Women and only women can give birth. No matter what you say, women are birthers. There is something in that assignment of being able to give birth that also happens in the spiritual. You've heard of people giving birth to things in the spirit realm, into the natural realm. You have, right? There are times things need to be birthed in the spirit. Men carry the seed and women birth the seed. And many times the seed refers to the promises of God. Deborah had this as mother in Israel, as a life giver. She could hear what it was that God wanted to do in an hour when many would have said it's impossible to win. Unwinnable war, and darkness is enclosing and swallowing us up. That was the Israel people. But that's for today. But God birthed something inside of her. And she carried the weight of His promise. And she knew her God could not lie. She could see what God wanted to do in the most desperate of times for Israel. They were outnumbered. Israel's always outnumbered. They were outnumbered. They didn't have, I'll tell you how outnumbered they were. It was a calling for a mother to birth forth what God wanted to do in that time. You guys get that? Against all odds, God wanted to give victory to His people, but He had to find somebody that could carry that promise and birth that promise into reality. Deborah began to activate faith around her. There is something very selfless to be a mother. She's not looking for accolades. She didn't say, you're not going to get credit for that, Barack, I am. She gave that job to JL. God did. She knew that was JL. I mean, I can do a whole sermon on JL. Yael. But Deborah didn't say, I want that credit. I want that credit in the Word of God. She got two chapters. One of them was a song. She wasn't looking for the accolades. A mother looks on people with a mother's heart. That's why all these teens want to come to your house and eat your food and hang out at your house, because they see something in you. When your kids were teens, we all had that. Raising kids is a very selfless thing to do. The demands are 24/7 and no medal, no pats on the back, no atta girl. As we give our lives for others, our spirits get sensitive to what God is doing because it mimics God's heart. We share His heart of living for others. We know this. When mamas rise to pray, something happens. Nowhere in the Bible did a woman's prayer not get answered, either instantly or eventually. Men prayed and didn't get their prayers answered. Sorry, guys. I mean, that was then, now's now, right? Yeah. David's prayer didn't get answered. God can't resist a woman praying. A woman is persistent. They know how to carry something for a long time. God knows we will bug Him and be around His throne till we get it. That's from Perry Stone. Not necessarily me, but I agree with Perry. Something starts to change when a mama prays. She knows it's life or death. And unless God intervenes, they won't make it. A mama will give her life and her strength for the life of another. There is a spiritual authority that rises up. Now, whether it's something God wants birthed or whether it's a birth, your child. Deborah stirred up the people. She had a 1,000 strong army against an army of 40,000 generals with 100,000 soldiers under each general. Yet she heard from God. She arose as a mother in Israel, stirred up the troops, went to war with Barak and won. They were in their chariots. I did a lot of looking. There was mud. They got all confused. They killed each other. But she birthed it forth and gave God's will life. She saved Israel. What's his name? Ran off. Got it? Got to hear that. We women are life givers. As descendants of Eve, we birth things. It is children, but we also birth things in prayer. We stay with it until it's fully birthed. That's what we are called to do. A few facts about us. I'm about done. Our grandmothers carried part of you and I inside her womb. How? A female fetus is born with all the eggs she will ever have in her lifetime. So when your grandmother was carrying your mother in her womb, you were a tiny egg in your mother's ovaries. The three of you have been connected for a very long time. One more. Your baby, alive or in heaven, leaves a part of themselves inside of you forever. During pregnancy, your baby's cells travel through your bloodstream and settle into your tissues, your bones, your brain, and your skin, staying with you for decades. Your baby even heals you. Studies show fetal cells rush to repair a mother's injured heart, becoming heart cells to heal her. Amen? Even years after birth, a mother carries her child's cells in her body and her brain. Every child that you have, I had five, a woman will leave a similar impression on her body. Can you guys just imagine Jake's cells inside of me right now? Okay. Even if a pregnancy terminated or an abortion, is performed, these cells continue to travel into your system. It's amazing, even some ailments of mothers will disappear during pregnancy because the infant aids in the repair of the mother. While the mother constructs the baby, the mother's body protects the baby at all costs, and how the baby protects and rebuilds the mother so that the infant may grow and securely and live. Isn't that something? You know, as a mother, you can feel your child even when they're not there. Amen? There is now solid evidence that mothers carry their children for years and years after giving birth to them. Psalms 139:14 says this, "Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous, and how well I know it." Isn't that amazing? So if you're babies, if you've had a miscarriage, some of us may not even know if we've had miscarriages. If your baby's gone on to heaven, it's still there with you. Still there with you. We never lose them. Isn't that something? God is so intricate. It's like he is thinking of the next step, and then he goes on to the next step before we even get there. Amen? Amen. Bow your head. Father, thank you for these precious.